Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
All right, Matthew chapter number 7. I want us to read the last few verses of chapter 7. We'll begin in verse number 15 tonight. And once you're standing, we will read from verse 15 to verse 29. I'll read it quickly. And so I know that you're like me. We're all tired. We've worked hard. We've got responsibilities that we fulfilled today. And so I know that you'll be looking forward to having a seat. But as we stand to give reverence to the reading of God's infallible Word, this is the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. He is preaching this on the hills of Capernaum, and we've studied chapter 5, chapter 6, and half of chapter 7, so we're going to try to finish chapter 7 and this entire study of the Sermon on the Mount tonight. So I may have to go a little quicker than usual, so I hope that you'll listen very well tonight. Verse 15, the words of Christ, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he, speaking of Jesus, taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Thank you and be seated tonight. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord, and my desire is to be a real blessing to you. So if you'll give me your ear tonight, I'll try my best to help you through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God tonight. You know that we have, for the past few months, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord never called it the Sermon on the Mount. Man has entitled it this sermon that title, but nothing wrong with that title, because He did preach the Sermon on the Mounts of Capernaum, and it's three chapters long. This is the longest sermon we have that Jesus preached while He was on the earth those 3.5 years. And it's a very important sermon. It's a sermon that we're given the principles on how we ought to live in this ungodly world as godly Christians. These are the standards, the holy standards of God. And we've covered a lot in these three chapters. I hope it's been a blessing. I hope you've gathered some good godly instruction, because what is found in these trilogy of chapters are very important, and we're going to see the importance that Jesus puts on it here towards the end of this chapter. But As we go through these last few verses, there's four things we're going to see. There are four things we're going to see. And so first of all, let's deal with verse number 15 and 16, 17, 18, and 19. We're going to see, first of all, the false prophets. The false prophets. Notice that he says in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but the Bible says inwardly they are wolves." Now, the Lord is teaching this to prepare His disciples, because this sermon, when it was first given, it was just to the disciples. Now, we know that the rest of the world, those that were around Capernaum, they would follow Christ for all kind of reasons. A lot of times they just followed Him so they could be healed of their sickness, so that He might raise their loved one from the dead, or He might take away their blindness, or help one of their loved ones walk again, or hear again, or see again. I don't know. There were many reasons why people would follow. But the disciples followed Jesus because they loved Him and they accepted Him as their Lord and as their Savior. And my friends, that is the real genuine reason you and I are to be following Christ. It's not a spare tire religion. You don't follow Christ because you want your marriage back together. If that's the sole reason, that's the wrong reason. You don't follow Christ because you want, you've been told health and wealth is to be gained by those that follow Christ. That is the wrong reason. You follow Christ because you love the Lord and you count Him as your Savior and as the Lord of your life. And so the Lord is giving this message to His disciples. The reason He's given it to His disciples, not only because they were there at that time, but because they were Christians. This sermon, chapter 5, 6, and 7, is not for the world. A lost man cannot keep the principles found in these three chapters. The only way you can follow these principles in the Sermon on the Mount, number one, you've got to be saved, and number two, you've got to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. All Christians that are saved, they're inhabited by Holy Spirit the moment they're saved. But there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit in you and having the Holy Spirit control you. The book of Ephesians says, "Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost." That word "filled" literally means to be controlled by. You're either tonight controlled by your flesh, what smells good, what looks good, what sounds good, what tastes good, what you think is good, or you're controlled by Holy Spirit. And so we either walk by the flesh, or we walk by the guidance of Holy Spirit. And the only way you can do these things, love your neighbor as yourself, do unto your neighbor like you'd want them to do unto you, the only way you can get your prayers answered, the only way that you can judge with righteous judgment and have godly discernment, and on that we can go, you must be saved, and number two, you must be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so the Lord is teaching these Christians on how they are to live. Now, this is preserved for right now for you and I in the New Testament church age. It is here for us. This is something that we don't say is not important because it was taught by Christ over 2,000 years ago. And we weren't there, obviously, so it's not for us. No, God has preserved His Word so that for us today, we might be saved, number one, and number two, that we might live according to the Father's will, a way that pleases God. If you say tonight, "Preacher, I want to live a life that pleases God," then I'm telling you tonight, chapter 5, 6, and 7 is for you tonight. You need to understand these trilogy of chapters were written, they were preached by God Himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ, so that we might live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. And so, here he goes. He's about to end this sermon, and he begins to talk to them about, number one, false prophets. False prophets. Now, notice with me that everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit. There is the gospel of God, which is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through Him you can be saved. But do you know that the devil has a false gospel? He tells people that they can be saved by being good. He tells folks they can go to heaven by being baptized. He tells them they can go to heaven by just joining a church, by just being a good person. Listen to me, because you sit in a church pew, that don't make you a Christian. If I sat all day in a garage, it ain't going to make me a car. And sitting in church all the time ain't going to make you a Christian. You must be born again. Look at all the sacred, what the world calls sacred writings, the Quran and all these other writings, the Book of Mormons and on and on we could go. That is Satan's counterfeit of what God has, the Word of God, the true Word of God. Everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you read the book of Revelation, you see the satanic trinity. You see Satan. You see the false prophet. And you see the false antichrist. You see the trinity, satanic trinity. And when it comes to preachers, men of God, true proclaimers because they proclaim the truth, the Bible, guess what? Satan's got some false preachers. Satan's got some false proclaimers. And the Bible calls them, Jesus calls them false prophets. Now, you say tonight with me, preacher, we don't have prophets now, and so I don't understand this. Well, let me say, first of all, you're right. A prophet was one that was used in the Old Testament, and some we read of some in the early New Testament, that prophesied what God revealed to them. The reason today we have no prophets today is because we have a completed Word of God. We don't need prophets. If a man comes in here and says, well, God told me to say this to you, and my friend, it don't line up with this book, he is a false prophet. The Bible says you don't add to it, and you don't take nothing away from it. And so the word prophet here, this is what it means in the context. It literally means from the Greek to our English today when it was translated, it means the bearer of untrue testimony. The word false prophet means the barrier of untrue testimony. In other words, they're also false teachers. They do not teach the truth. They are untrue in their teaching or in their preaching. So therefore, they are called false prophets or false witnesses. If we go to court and we know someone that is guilty and we don't want them to be found guilty, and we know the truth, but yet we stand after we say, so help me God, and we give a false testimony, a testimony that is untrue, we become a false witness. Are you hearing me today? And that literally is what Jesus says. He is saying that when they speak, it's not the truth. Because what happens with the truth, when it's truly spoken, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. But when these people speak, these false witnesses, false teachers, false prophets, they don't set people free with their word. They entangle people. They confuse people. Are you with me tonight? And God's not the author of confusion, but a God of a sound mind. The truth shall set you free, amen. And those that are free indeed, the book of John teaches us. And so he says there's false prophets, false witness, and it talks about what these false prophets pretend. Verse 15. Look at what they pretend. I know I'm rushing. I sound like I'm preaching like it's Sunday morning, but I got to get it all in. What does these false prophets pretend? It says that they're false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're nothing but wolves. Now, when you think of a sheep, you think of a shy animal. But when you think of a wolf, boy, you're really thinking of something that is bold and dangerous. Last night, as I was walking through the bedroom, and I had on there Wild Russia. I don't know if it's Natural Geographic Discovery, and it talks about the animals. And they had, when I walked in, talk about the brown bear coming out, and it could smell for 2 miles away a carcass. And they followed that brown bear going through the valley, and he was going for a long time. He finally almost got to the carcass, but guess who was already there? A wolf. And they were talking about the wolf, and he was all by himself, this wolf was. And they were talking about this wolf and how that they both desire that carcass. They both are hungry. But that wolf, that big old brown bear, I told my children the other day, we have these discussions, and I guess some of them are trivial and some of them are important, but I think one of them was, well, what scares you? What makes you scared? Of course, mine for you is tornado. Tornado at night. Well, tornado, then Angela said, especially at night, when you can't see it coming. And I forgot what Morgan said. And I said, I'll tell you what would scare me. That would be in Alaska, salmon fishing or trout fishing, and a big old grizzly come walking up behind you. That's fear right there, son. Amen. Hopefully there'd be somebody fishing with me that I can outrun, that bear would get them before it got me. Hallelujah. Not you, dear. Hallelujah. But even though you like trout fishing. But, you know, that scares me to think about what a grizzly can do. I mean, they eat you up. You've seen the devastation of a grizzly. But this wolf, this big old brown bear, he was so desiring that food that he literally about fought that bear. Well, finally the bear won and the wolf ran off, hightailed it out of there. But I thought about how a wolf is bold, contrary to a sheep who is shy and timid and humble. And the Bible says, even though inside they literally are nothing but wolves that want to tear and destroy and rip apart, but yet they come in sheep's clothing. What they pretend is not what they really are. They're really not sheep looking out for the good of others, but they're wolves trying to tear you apart spiritually. Can I get a witness in here? They're here today, folks. They're amongst us today. They're all amongst us. They are wolves that seem to know how to say the right thing. They know that when you look at their personality and you look at the following they have, he said, man, they must be a good preacher. But yet, the Bible says that if they don't give the Word of God, they're nothing but wolves seeking to destroy. And so what these prophets pretend, and then notice secondly, what these false prophets produce. What do they pretend? They pretend that they're something that they're not. They pretend that they're for God. They pretend that they're for you spiritually. They want you to do something for God. But yet they want to tear you apart. What do they produce? Look at verse number 19. Ye shall know them. I want to know who they are, don't you? People say, well, you can't know a man's heart. Fully on that. The Bible gives me evidence if a man is a false teacher or if he's real true blue. And here's the evidence. By their fruits, you'll know them. I can't tell you a lot about a tree. I don't really know trees. I can tell you about an oak tree and a poplar tree and a cedar tree, evergreen tree. But I tell you, beyond that, man, a pine tree, of course. But I can tell you what a tree is by looking at its fruit. If I see a bunch of apples on there, I don't have to think twice. I will literally tell you, hey, I know the answer. That's an apple tree. If I see a bunch of oranges, I say, man, look at them orange trees. I mean, a man standing there said, with a bunch of oranges hanging on those branches, they said, there's an apple tree. They're an idiot. I mean, that's just obvious. We know the tree by what? The fruit it bears. And the Bible says not only these false prophets, when we look at what they pretend, but what they produce, they do not produce good works. They don't produce good fruit. Notice what it says in verse 16. Do men, here's the question God gives us. He says, think about this. Do men gather grapes of thorns? In other words, what he's saying is, can a thorn produce a grape? No. You know what produces grapes? Grapes. Number two, can a thistle produce a fig? No. Thistles produce each other. He is saying that false prophets will produce evil, corrupt works and fruit. And that's what he says there. He says these false prophets, these false teachers, these false witnesses, they're corrupt because we know that because they produce corrupt fruit. They may start out seemingly that they are real, but at the end, as I tell you often, their true colors will come out. Their true colors. Now, how is the Lord judging these false prophets? How do we know? It's not by their personality. Most of them have a great personality. They're always smiling and they're positive speakers. So you don't judge. You can't judge if he's a false prophet by that. You say, what about their following? Well, you can't judge that because I know a lot of false prophets today that got a worldwide following. All through the ages, they've always had a big following. Listen to me. Broad is the way that goes to hell, and many find it. But few find a way to heaven. That's the words of Jesus Christ in this same chapter. I'm telling you tonight, how are we to know who they are? You know them by their fruit, and their fruit is seen in their doctrine and in the way they live. You watch them. You know, sometimes I'll say something about, I may not mention a name, but I'll say something about somebody through my 13 years of pastoring. Sometimes you scratch your head and you say, I don't know who he's talking about, or, oh, I know who he's talking about, or why would the preacher do that? Because I am instructing the Word of God to warn you that they're out there in sheep's clothing, but the Lord has allowed me to see spiritually. He has given me discernment as the pastor, the man of God, to see this person is a false witness. They're a false teacher. They're a false prophet. You better stay away from them, or they'll destroy you. Do you want me to take time tonight and name people in this church that's been destroyed because of false teachers? Do you want me to take time tonight and tell you the people that have been destroyed by false prophets? Last night I counted almost 150 people that used to be in this church. 150 in 13 years. That is 11 to 12 people a year that got out of church at Open Door Back. 150. Tell you, they're out there, folks. I can give you story after story. We've just seen it recently. I'm telling you, you better be careful who your friends are. You show me your friends, I'll show you who you are, who you soon shall be. And if you lend your ear to a false teacher, you lend your ear to a false prophet, they'll get your heart. And they'll totally knock you out of the ways of God. You better be careful. For we that still remain, you ought to glorify the Lord. Amen. That you're still hanging in here. Number two, not only false prophets, but the false professors. I'm hurrying. Look at verse number 21. Listen to me. Now, let me read 19 and 20 just quickly. This is the end for these false teachers and prophets that deceive people. They just deceive people. They destroy people. Here's the end. For every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down. Literally means took an axe taken to it and is cast into the fire. You know what fire that's referring to, don't you? A place called hell. I don't care what these modern day preachers now say, well, there ain't such thing as a hell. It's a figure of the imagination. Listen to me. I line up with the book. There is a hell and there is a heaven. And my friend, we're going to go to one of the either. And it's according to what we do with Jesus. And I'm telling you, the Bible says the end is they'll be burned forever in hell. All right, now let's go to the false professors. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. This is some of the saddest verses. These three verses, these trilogy of verses, are some of the saddest verses in your Bible. I personally believe that. These are some of the saddest verses in the Bible. The Bible literally says that in the day of judgment, when He separates, the Bible says it's the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on His right, the goats on His left. Literally that means the saved. And then, listen to me, folks, there's only two types of people in this world. It's not black and white. It's not American, non-American. It's not rich and poor. It's not illiterate or educated. It is saved and lost. That's the only way God looks at the world, two classes. You're either saved or you're lost, period. And the saved are considered the sheep of His pasture. The goats are those that have rebel. A goat is known as a hard head. He is known as a rebellious one. Just shake that head. He ain't doing it. And every time the man of God preaches the gospel and says, won't you accept Jesus, what does them goats do? Just shake that head no. Not going to do it, preacher. I'm telling you, one day they'll get what they wanted, and that is eternity without Jesus Christ. They say, I don't want your Jesus, preacher. Well, if you don't get saved, you're going to have it forever. You're going to get your wish. You're going to spend eternity in hell without Jesus. So the false professors are here. They profess they're believers. That's why they're false professors. They're not professing that they're good. They're not professing they're rich. They're not professing they're educated. They're not professing they're Jews. That's not what it's dealing with. The Bible says they're professing that they are the Lord's. They are saved. They are the redeemed. They are the called out ones. But yet they're not. Because Jesus said so. He says, and look what Jesus says that makes them not true believers. It's right here. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's the false professors. Watch this. But he that doeth the will of my Father. The Bible says what makes them, Brother Tim Holloway, false professors is they have never done the will of the Heavenly Father. Now, preacher, what is that? When initially, the will of the Father is found in the book of Peter and Timothy for all people ever been born of a woman. And that is, He would have all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all. What is He willing? All come to repentance. The reason these people are false professors, because they never came to repentance. That is the will of the Father the Lord is referring to here. He's not saying they didn't join a church. He's not saying they didn't get dunked in the baptism pool. He said they didn't do the will of the Father, the will of the Father for everybody to be saved. And they were not saved. And that's why they're false professors. Do you see that tonight? Give me an amen. Alright. They falsely profess that they possess salvation. This is one of the most dangerous lies you could be part of. This is the most dangerous lie that you could be part of. Is to live your life and lie that you're a Christian. To live your entire life professing something that you really ain't got. That is the most dangerous lie there is. It's bad to lie to your wife, bad to lie to your children, to your husband, to your boss, bad to lie to your preacher, bad for the preacher to lie to the congregation, bad to lie to each other, bad to lie to mama, bad to lie to daddy. But I'm telling you, there's no lie more dangerous than lying about your salvation. Claiming you got it when you are not a possessor, but you're just a professor. A lot of folks profess, but that don't make them possessors. Do you possess eternal life? Have you been born again? Because if you're not and you claim you are, you're living a lie. I thank God that September 8, 1996, all that time I lived a lie. But Jesus saved me. He brought me out of that lie. My wife, in August of 2000, was brought out of that lie she was living. She was a piano player. I sung in the choir. I won Christian Character Awards at my Christian high school 2 years in a row. Everybody thought I was okay. Everybody thought Angela was okay. But I'm saying we both was living a lie. I thank God I'm not in that lie anymore. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm not a false professor. I'm a true possessor. Hallelujah. And so we need to understand this. He records in verse 23, the ones who have falsely professed, He records for us the last thing they'll hear. Look at verse 23 with me. These are the ones that have falsely professed that they are Christian. They have falsely professed that they've been saved. He says, then will I profess. Now we're going, folks, from a false profession to a true profession. And this true profession comes from the truth Himself, Jesus Christ. He never spoke a lie, and He will not in this day. And He will truly profess, although they falsely profess, He will truly profess, I never knew you. I said, that even though I'm saved, that still touches my heart. Even though I'm saved, there's still, I've got assurance of salvation. No, right now if I died, I'd wake up in heaven, not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done for me. I know that, but just to read that, still, I guess it's because I remember where I used to be. And I could have easily woke up in hell. And it still touches my heart to think of those words when folks stand before Jesus thinking they're going to go to heaven, and yet they'll wake up in hell. I never knew you. My friends, He didn't say, I knew you at one time, and then I forgot you. The word is never. We don't believe in losing your salvation here. There's no Bible for it. We believe in eternal security. The Bible says, whosoever shall believe will not perish. Will not. If somebody believes, and then they perish, God's a liar. He said they will not perish, and they'll have what? Everlasting life. The book of Hebrews, Paul wrote, if someone could fall away. He said they would have to crucify Christ twice to be saved again. Because the first salvation wasn't good enough. The first crucifixion wasn't good enough because it didn't last. Listen to me. Eternal security is a doctrine of the blessed Word of God. And it's a doctrine that I would die for. There's some doctrines that I would literally die for. And I believe you're eternally saved. And I'm telling you, that's what the Bible teaches. He said to them, not that I one time knew you, then you fail, and then you got lost. He said, I never knew you. He said, there never was a time where you confessed me as your Savior and Lord. There never was a time that you repented of your sin. He said, there never was a time. I never knew you. And then what does it say? Depart. My friend, there's two last commands that every person will hear. They're going to hear one of the two. the last command they'll hear from Jesus Christ will either be depart or enter. Are you hearing me today? We got to get a burden for our lost loved ones. Got a burden for our co-workers, because they're going to go to heaven or hell. You're either going to hear depart or enter. Depart, or He's going to say, enter into the joys of the Lord. There's only two commands that are left to be said in your life. Depart or enter. I hope you know for sure that you'll hear God Almighty say, enter into the joys of the Lord. Enter through the gates of heaven. Because of your salvation, because you did do the Father's will, you can enter. Please, oh, don't be in that crowd where they'll hear Him say, depart. I never knew you. And then number three, we've seen the false prophets. Number two, we've seen the false professors. Number three, we're going to see a false foundation. A false foundation. Verse 24. Am I helping you? Are you enjoying it? Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you remember if you was a child in church, or you remember your children would sing that song about the wise men and the foolish men? You know how it goes, Mom? You remember it? See if you can sing it. His house upon a rock. Wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, tumbling down. And the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Thank you, Miss Sarah. I knew you still sing kiddie songs. What a blessing. No, that's a great song. That's not a kiddie song. That's foolish to think it is. Jesus Loves Me is not a kiddie song either. And so I like that song. Then it goes about the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Goes through that. Rain came down, the floods came up. And it says, and the house washed. Come tumbling down. That's what it is. And the kids always dropped to their knees or on their backside. The house came tumbling down. That's where this song comes from. This is the false foundation. The Lord's going to conclude His sermon. He's going to conclude His sermon with a warning. I want you to hear me tonight, because we're ending the Sermon on the Mount study tonight. It's done. We've spent a lot of time here. But we've got to hit this warning. The Lord is like what all preachers and all teachers are to be like. I believe that true preaching preaches the Word of God that didn't back down, back up. He preaches it straight-laced truth. He preaches it yet with compassion. But he gets people to a place of decision. How often have you heard me say, I'm done. I've laid the message in your lap. Now, it's your time to respond. What are you going to do with it? That's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is giving a warning. He says, I'm about done with this sermon. The longest sermon that we have recorded in the Bible that Jesus ever preached was a Sermon on the Mount. He says, I have preached this sermon. And now, I believe, now we're going to see in the latter part that He was addressing the disciples, the saved, except Judas, of course. And Judas being there, Jesus knew that Judas, He knew what Judas was going to do, but Jesus still gave Judas space to repent. Jesus already knows who's going to be saved and who's not. I mean, He already knows. He knows who's going to repent of their sins and believe in Him, and He knows who's not. But yet we have a free will. And He gives us space to repent. The most wicked woman this world has ever seen, and I know you could think of several names just that are right now living. I could think of some. But the most wicked woman ever lived, I believe, in the Bible was Jezebel. And do you know what God said about Jezebel being a wicked sinner? God gave her space. That word space means time. God gave wicked Jezebel time to repent. That blows my mind. That goes back to John 3:16 Sunday. I'm puzzled by that. A woman so wicked, but God gave her time to repent. But then when I get thinking about it, I get thinking about me. Before I got saved, I was wicked too. You might feel the same way. God gave us time to repent, didn't He? Amen. I'm glad we took advantage of that. And so He's giving them time. He is saying, now we're going to find out that Judas is there. And also, all those that came up from the cities or the villages, they were listening too. Tonight, I just thought of this, tonight I'm addressing you and those that are part of the live streaming of this service. And I know I'm also addressing those that will download this sermon in the future, whatever country it may be. What a blessing that is. They're going to listen to this. But, you know, I hardly ever think that the speaker's on or outside. Hard to think about folks that jog and ride a bicycle or just walking their dog, and they walk their dog out there all the time. They jog, don't they, sweetheart? And I wonder how many times someone's heard the preaching of the Word of God, and I never knew it. That's what was going on. Of course, Jesus knew they were there, but He was addressing the 12, and yet multitudes heard Him. And so He is saying to everybody now, you've all heard it. Everybody's heard what I've said. What are you going to do with the message? And He says to them, here's the warning. If you will listen, literally when I'm talking, somebody's driving up real slow looking in here. Amen. That's funny. But anyway, what's that loudmouth preacher doing in there? What is he doing? He's having a fit. But He is saying to them a warning. Here's the warning. If you listen to what I'm saying to you in these three chapters, He said, these sayings of mine, He said, and you do them. It's one thing to listen and not do anything about it. It looked like every one of you listened tonight. I usually watch people and I can go home and tell, and I don't tell my wife, but I could tell my wife who I believe listened and who I believe didn't. Tonight you look like every one of you listened. You look like you heard what I had to say. But are you going to stop there? Are you going to stop there? I'm not up here to beat my gums. This ain't my soapbox. This is my privilege. This is my responsibility. I'm not here to waste your time. I'm not here to waste mine. I'm here because God sent me here. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And you got to do that too. But the message is being given. What are you going to do with it? He says, if you hear and do, you're wise. Is there anybody in the building? If you are, don't raise your hand because you would prove that you are this dumb. But is anybody in the building that between the two of being wise or being dumb as a rock, you prefer being dumb as a rock? Preacher, just be honest with you, I like to be dumb. That's been my dream. Just to be stupid. No, nobody's like that, really, you know. You want to be wise. You want to learn. You know, us men, you know, if we're in a particular field, we feel that, you know, nobody's better in that field than we are. We're just smart, wise. I hear people talk, you know, you hear them in Walmart, you hear them at the church, and boy, they get to talking. And some people are really wise in that area, and they are wiser than the company that they're presently in. I understand that. But that's just the way we are. We want to be wise. We want to be considered smart. Amen. You hear that, Elizabeth? Chris wants to be considered smart. Thank you. Not a smart aleck either. Smart. And so, we want to be wise, amen. And so, we have to look at this false foundation. I got about 5-6 minutes, and we have to land the plane. He says this false foundation is whenever you hear, but you will not apply it. You will not apply it. He says that I've given you a message, and he says that these sayings need to be important to you in chapter 5, Chapter 6, chapter 7, he is saying, that's what he's referring to. You say, well, he's talking about all the Word of God. Well, yes, sure, but he is specifically referring to these three chapters that he's just preached. He said, I'm telling you what I just gave you, you'd be a wise man if you would hear it and abide by it. But if you decide to reject it and not receive it and not apply it to your life, you're a foolish man. I don't like to be called foolish. One of the worst things the Bible speaks about that you can call somebody is a fool. The Lord called some people fools. One of them was the man that saith there is no God is a fool. God said that. People that seem to be so intellectual and so think they just got all the degrees, all, as Brother Holloway said this morning, all the PhDs follow their names, but yet they're so ignorant that they'll say there's no God. The asteroid that was supposed to pass, is it 667? What was the name of it? I don't remember, but Morgan came in there and she's got where she really likes science. And she come in there with her iPad and she had it on what website? SLU website. A lot of scientists experience. And she said, Dad, this asteroid is supposed to pass. And we were watching last year the asteroid, and it's like a fireball in it. We watched it, video from Siberia, I believe it was, and they showed how the sonic boom, when it came by, it took several minutes, but they showed plants and homes, when I say plants, I'm about warehouses, where they videoed, and the windows were blown completely out. The garage doors would fall, didn't it, dear? Just the sonic boom of that asteroid passing over the Earth. And it was supposed to pass Tuesday night or Monday night, one night. And it was going to pass over towards the west coast. And it was so cloudy. We went outside. You couldn't even see a star in the sky. So we figured we wouldn't see it. And it was like beyond the moon. But it was closer than any planet is. It was in between the moon and the planets. And so we really wanted to see it. So she was watching on the iPad. And they had a telescope out in outer space to the galaxies. And it was neat to watch. And they had it on the area that they were hoping the asteroid would pass by. So obviously all four of our family members were just glued to that trying to watch it. And we thought it would be exciting to see something like that. And problem is, they never seen it. And so by the time we went to bed, they hadn't. And I don't know if they ever got video of it or not. But I'm sure video will surface after a while. And but the guy talking about it, and, you know, when he started talking, I thought, this guy here is a scientist. This guy has got some wisdom. And the more he talked, he reminded me, Brother Darrell, of the Scripture, ever learning and never coming to the truth. He got talking some crazy things about evolution, about that there's not, you know, he didn't ever say there's no God, but what he was talking about, he didn't believe there was a God. He talked about the Big Bang and all these things. Well, I believe in a certain Big Bang. God spoken and bang, it happened. Amen. That's the Big Bang I believe in. And so you could tell, I thought, man, this guy is ignorant. This guy literally is a fool. Because the Bible says, he that confesses or professes that there's not a God is a fool. And so anyway, the Bible says, be careful what you do with the message. In closing, he says, if you're wise, you'll take it and you'll live by it. If you're a foolish man, then you're going to build your house on sand. Now, what does it mean, build your house? Does that literally mean to build a construction with three bedrooms, two baths, big old bay window and the dining room so you can look out and see the woods and the deer crossing while you eat your breakfast? Is that what it means? And big old pool in the backyard and, you know, big old grand entry. When you walk in, you got staircase going on both sides. And boy, it's a spiral staircase. No, that's not what he's talking about. When he talks about building a house, he's talking about building your life. Building your life. Your life involves your character, your testimony. He says that if you take these sayings, these instructions, if you take my sayings, these principles on how to live for God in these three chapters, if you take them and you apply them, your life will be a strong life. Your testimony will be strong. Your personality, your character will be strong. And no matter what comes in your life, hell or high water, you'll stand because you are planted on a rock. Now, what is the rock? The rock is the words of Christ, which Christ is the Word. We know the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But it's the Word of God. The Word of God is the rock you and I are to be standing on. If you and I stand upon the Word of God, I don't care what comes your way in your life, and there's going to be some things come your way, you'll still stand strong. Not because of you, but because your foundation is a rock. But if you will not take this message tonight, and not all these studies that we've been through, and you reject it, and you go ahead and build on some other philosophy, the philosophy of Islam, or the philosophy of Confucius, or Buddha, philosophy of Joseph Smith, or Mary Baker Eddy, and all that line go, or your own philosophies of life, your own religion, you go ahead and build your life on that, but Jesus said it's nothing but sand, and your life won't hold up. You won't have a strong life, you won't have a strong testimony, and you won't have strong character. I'm saying I want to build my life on the rock. I know what it is to build. I have framed, I've boxed, I've trimmed, I've laid brick, I've laid rock, I've roofed. I know all about that stuff, and I'm telling you the foundation is where it all starts. And I'm glad the rock is the foundation. And then let me read the two verses in closing. It's my time to quit. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended. So the fourth thing, we not only have the false prophets, the false professors, the false foundation, but now we have the finishing of the sermon. He's all done now. He's wrapped it up. He's gave the warning. He's laid it out in their laps. He said, now you respond accordingly. You receive it or you reject it. It's up to you. When he had finished, there were two responses to the finishing of this sermon. Number one, astonishment. And number two, authority. The Bible says when he finished, the people were astonished. Then verse number 29, for he taught them as one having authority. They weren't used to that kind of teaching. Chris, it's all right. I'll do this Sunday night. It wasn't that he taught them like the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. They were used to that kind of watered down teaching and preaching. You listen to your radio along, and you'll hear some of that stuff. I'm sad about this. I heard on the way over here that Andy Stanley had wrote a comment about how Christians ought to. If they were business owners, and even churches, it would be right for them as Christians to do what we could in helping a gay wedding. Andy Stanley said that. I don't know what his daddy thought. For years, his daddy's been a godly man. I'm sure if his daddy's still the same way, he probably said, son, what is wrong with you? Andy Stanley is nothing like his daddy. I saw him both preach, and Andy Stanley, he's a false prophet. And he says, well, if we're going to be Christians, we're going to support the gay marriage. We're going to open our churches up for the ceremonies. If you make a cake, you're not right with God if you don't bake a cake for a gay couple. And this man on WBTV 750 AM, if you want to know where I listen to it, 750 AM, he says, now I know I'm going to get a lot of folks that disagree. He said, but that's their business. And they can do with their business what they want to. If they want to make a cake for a gay couple, that's their business. They'll answer to God for it. But if they don't want to, then the world ought to shut up. The government should not make Christians have to bow down to things we do not support or believe. The problem with our country right now, we've got too much government involved. Too much government involved. And we better not go there. I'm not running for Congress. I wouldn't last long. They'd kick me off Capitol Hill in a hurry after a few speeches of mine. Anyway, I got to quit. Anyway, they were astonished. Why? Because his message did not come from the fathers. Peter talked about the tradition of the fathers. Didn't come from them. His message came from the Father. And that's the difference. That's why they were astonished. And then he spoke with authority. How could he have so much compassion but yet so much conviction? And when he got done, he preached the way I like to preach. When I'm done, I don't want you to have any question what I stand for. I don't want you to look here and say, what did he just preach? I can't understand what he stands for. I don't understand what he believes. No, when you leave here, you're going to say, hey, I know where Pastor Benton stands. I know what he believes. He made it very clear. And that's the way Jesus was. He preached with conviction. Amen. And so, thank the Lord for this.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.